8 hours of schooling or 7 hours of schooling or commitment to a particular geographical location, all those capitalist precautions and requirements, they don't fit the natural world. The seasons don't flow like that. The day doesn't unfold like that. Our minds and hearts don't open like that.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Seema. I'm a Punjabi woman growing up in Canada. I live in Vancouver with my husband.
My name is Carl. I'm Lakota, originally from South Dakota.
Far away from home, and we have a four-year-old son together, Matoh. Why we want to homeschool, it's a combination, I guess, of things that I don't necessarily think he needs to experience in the context of a learning environment. But also, I guess, the things that I don't want to deny him, which I feel I would be doing if I institutionalized him. So, yeah, my husband and I both have experiences of racism in the public education system. And I myself grew up in rural Saskatchewan, and there are a lot of wonderful things about that experience. But racism was pretty much a constant theme in my education throughout my life, even into post-secondary. And so particularly with the way that, you know, issues of colonization are addressed, if they are even addressed, the portrayal of Native peoples and other non-white peoples, not really interested in exposing my son to that heavy kind of indoctrination, that ugly agenda. He just doesn't need that in his life. I certainly didn't. My husband certainly didn't.
Well, the reason why I feel we need to homeschool our son is my wife, you know, mentioned racism. My experience with school was at a young age, I was forced into boarding school. And, you know, one does not learn anything when they're being forced to or being imposed upon. And so that was one of my main reasons why I don't want my son to experience the same things I've experienced, especially today. It's a more violent and cruel world out there.
For us, what some people call homeschooling, we don't really have this kind of agenda or even unschooling. You know, everybody has different ways of learning and labeling their life experiences, I guess. But for us, certainly in my husband's people's way, a natural environment experience, the plant nations, so many natural things. These are who the teachers are.
You know, in this day and age, the young kids who go to school, they tend to forget to listen so they can hear what is being expressed to them. Homeschooling is a good idea because it gives the child a better understanding of what to learn and what not to learn. That's individual freedom, based on individual freedom. And that's one of the Lakota ways.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess my job as a parent is really to love my son and keep him safe and not interfere with his path. And there's such a respect, there's such a fierce respect for the individual's way of life, and it really shows in the way that Lakota people teach their children, the traditional ones, you know, the
right.
ones who still understand their ways. And there's certainly elements of that that I relate to in my own life experience as a, you know, raised by traditional Punjabi Sikh parents. Experience is a really important teacher, and so we try to let children lead themselves, let their experience guide them. And I just find, I remember my husband, you know, tells us, you know, through his teachings, listen and you will hear, observe and you will see. And I've really noticed, it's been very humbling for me to see that, though, you know, most of my experience has been in the Western education system through, you know, Western literature. And so I am very much sort of a product of that. And in comparing myself to 5 and 6 year old kids, I have to say I've learned I can't see as well as them. I have very lazy listening and observational skills in comparison. And also the sort of this idea of knowledge coming in a very linear way, or what knowledge is more or less important at a particular time. It's irrelevant in my preparations with my husband for their traditional ceremony, the Sundance. I remember feeling sorry for a nephew who was the one, when there were sweat ceremonies, you know, he was doing all the work. He was building the fire and carrying in the rocks and, you know, never coming into the ceremony but helping from the outside. And whereas I started to feel like pitying him and, you know, told him one day how proud I was of how hard he was working and how grateful I was for him, and also but kind of expressing a kind of feeling sorry for him that he hadn't been able to come into the ceremonies. But he didn't see it that way at all. From his perspective, he'd been doing exactly what he wanted to be doing and needed to be doing. And when I go into the lodge, I'll know a lot of the songs. And I remember him saying to me, whatever kind of song my uncle calls for, I'll be able to sing that song. He said, I haven't been away from the ceremony. I've been there the whole time, you know, serving the way that I wanted to serve. So it was a really valuable lesson for me. You know, just to allow my son to experience a natural way of life through his people's ways, I could never deny him that, just in terms of honing his intelligence, providing him a scientific worldview. Some of the Lakota people that I met have an incredibly, what I perceive as a very scientific sense of the world. Their ideas come from, you know, generations of observation and understanding. So institutionalization, again, doesn't really fit in with that. The Lakota people have models and sort of ways of understanding the world and sort of deeply articulated cosmologies, and those things take time to translate and transmit. The Lakota talk about their 4 basic values: sharing, generosity, respect, and courage.
There's a big difference, you know, between religion and a way of life. A way of life is spiritual, and the other way is not. I mean, this is what I've come to understand in my life.
8 hours of schooling or 7 hours of schooling or commitment to a particular geographical location, all those capitalist precautions and requirements, they don't fit the natural world. The seasons don't flow like that. The day doesn't unfold like that. Our minds and hearts don't open like that. We're very lucky. I have a middle-class job. My husband has made this commitment to be in the city far away from his home so that we can do this. You know, still we feel really isolated. Still, we don't even have a place in this city where my husband could keep his own lodge because he's far away from his land. We don't have any hope of owning any land in this area. And so for us, it's a struggle right now even to, you know, be able to have even that kind of a space. But that's in our prayers. You know, we know that will come, however. But it doesn't dampen our desire to continue in this way. We'll make it happen. Actually, I have to say, keeping our son out of school is kind of a real focus. We're really both willing to make whatever sacrifices we can to keep him out.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
One thing that I see in Carl's people's way of life, and certainly in my people's way as well, is there's such a deep respect and love for children.
The children are raised in a good way. They never strike children. They're getting agitated. They, you know, kind of calm them down, and they, like, if they're being disrespectful, they teach them in a nice way the difference between the wrong and the good.
Neither of us are Christians, so neither of us are really comfortable or raised in the idea of original sin. So we don't see our children as being born already as fallen or anything like that. They are our gifts, and they are teachers in themselves. And so, like, rebukes and that sense of discipline doesn't really come through. One thing I've noticed about Lakota people is they really don't like to interfere And that extends to children as well. If children are engaging in a course of action, they're pretty much allowed to let it see where it unfolds, as long as they're safe. When they start interfering with somebody else's freedom, when they start bothering other children or being harsh or not being generous or, you know, being sort of not committed to the truth or something, there's a way of sort of trying to help children understand that without making them feel bad, without trying to make them feel small. It seems like in the traditional way they're really careful not to stereotype children, like mm-hmm. this is a good kid, this is a bad kid.
You see, a child misbehaves when they're being forced to do something or say something. In my people's way, you know, the good can be the bad, and the bad can be the good. And in my people's way, there is no wrong and there is no right. It's all a learning experience.
Yeah, balance is really something that's emphasized. And also in the context of an ongoing relation, sort of like, these are the people that the Spirit has brought into your lives, everyone you touch. Everyone needs to be respected, not because of how they're treating you, but just intrinsically. So that basic respect for one another, it's really a foundation that I find everything grows out of. And even the way they talk to each other, the Lakota language, the way it's spoken, it's so respectful mm-hmm. and gentle, and also can't seem to be spoken without laughing. Humor is a really important teacher as well. And I, for what little I know of other Indian people's cultures, you know, they all seem to really understand humor as a teacher. And, you know, certainly when you think about how all these beautiful Native nations can have survived the last 500 years of what we've done to them mm-hmm. as settlers, then you understand why they know how to laugh and how laughter helps them survive. Yeah, so they have these incredible ways of teaching in their culture that are really valuable, and all of us could really benefit from. Feel really gifted that my son is part of that culture as well, because it's, selfishly speaking, it's not only a great gift I can give to my son, but I'm learning a lot of how to live a natural way, you know, from this continent that helps me understand my life. It's a gift, yeah.
Something I would like to express, and that's, you know, in my people's way, we also remember our dreams, because within our dreams lie a certain answer that we may be overlooking in our daily life.
And almost every culture has understood this, but industrial culture has, I don't know if it's purposeful to prevent people from dreaming, that we have this kind of way of sort of understanding our sacred sense of time, you know, past, present, and future, day and night, these kind of artificial divisions, and keeping people in schedules and cycles that are not always conducive to dreaming. The hurry-scurry of, again, of our lives today makes a lot of people think of sleep as an inconvenience. So our connection to that kind of respect for that kind of knowledge, what we can remember in our dreams, what we can sort out in our dreams, we don't really do that either. My son is really on his own schedule. He seems to function best when he sleeps around, you know, 9:30, 10 at night, and sometimes a little later, but it's really his own thing. If he needs to sleep in the morning, he does. You know, nobody, he doesn't know what an alarm clock is, and, you know, he doesn't have appointments, and he doesn't have a backpack. In our home, everybody and anyone is welcome. It doesn't matter how much money you earn or whether you yourself have a house to live in, but, you know, everyone is welcome, and I want Mato to feel that way about everyone around him as well. And I remember when I was growing up, in our culture, we don't use these terms, Mr. and Mrs. They almost sound insulting. But, you know, someone of my parents' age was my auntie or my uncle. My own friends around me were, you know, my brother or sister. That's how we refer to each other. And it's the same way in my husband's culture. Mato is being raised in the same way. He doesn't hesitate to call people he meets in the park, you know, uncle and auntie, or the guy panning on the street, or the woman selling him pizza. He's really easy with that. He's really understands that part of life. And again, I have to thank the Lakotas for that, because even in their language, they have a phrase. Many Indian people seem to have that idea in their language, but in Lakota, they say, Mitakuye Oyasin, which means we are all related. Even through the way they speak to each other, they remind each other, you know, about that. Yeah, that's a part of my son's, I don't know if it's his education, mm-hmm. but it's certainly a part of the way he's been taught to orient himself to the world around him. And it seems to work for him, and maybe people feel a little lonely in our society. And I notice that people really like it. And as our son gets older and feels, you know, capable of traveling without his mommy, then there's a lot of ceremonies and traditional gatherings that happen at different times of the year that his dad will be able to take him on. If your son decides he wants to go to school, would you let him?
Yeah, I would let him, but he's going to have to come to his own understandings of it before he makes that giant step. It's a matter of knowing.
And the curriculum, still, that is so negative.
You see, another thing is, in the classrooms, they don't tell about the native part of history, what actually went down on them.
What is still going down.
And what is still happening to our native cultures on this continent.
Oh,
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
My name is Stephanie Gilchrist. My family is Cree, Plains Cree, from northern Saskatchewan. And I, along with my husband, homeschool our two children. My son is 11, almost 12, and my daughter is just about 2. We've homeschooled the whole time since he was born, mostly unschool, so we do a bit of curriculum. I like to call it child-led learning because we do a lot of work, but it's mostly what my son is interested in. He's very interested in sciences and math and so on, so we do a lot of that stuff. We do a lot of environmental education by the way we live and the things we do. We decided to homeschool 12 years ago before our son was born. I had read an article in some magazine somewhere. I think it was a parenting magazine. My reasons for homeschooling are quite a lot, and they include the negative socialization that children learn, receive, and often act on in schools. History was another big reason for me. As an Aboriginal woman, I vividly remember sitting in history classes in school and questioning the validity of the information that we were receiving, as well as thinking, this is your history, it's not my history. Mm-hmm. What about my people? What did they do? Where's that information? So I wanted my son to be able to, I wanted to be able to teach him different histories of the world, not just native ones, but all the histories of the world, that of the people who are unheard of in schools. I didn't want his education to be as one-sided as ours was. Definitely talk about our own culture and the way of life that our people had, as well as, like I said, the environmental focus on our education is also very much a Native perspective.
You did mention before that it's very natural for Aboriginal people to homeschool because that's what you've been doing for centuries.
Yeah, and I think that's why unschooling works for us. I just feel like it's a natural way to teach. Up to just a couple hundred years ago, that's how our ancestors were teaching their children. I feel like it's a very natural way to learn and to teach. And it's the way that our ancestors were doing it just up, you know, a couple hundred years ago. It was the way things were done. Mm-hmm. It's real life learning in which our values are passed along as well as valuable information that I believe is what education is about, not just the curriculum.
Right. And would you say that the community features in your homeschooling, in your unschooling there? Like, how do you involve community?
Yeah, well, definitely the homeschooling community is involved, but also the Aboriginal community in that we, you know, we attend the powwows and we go to certain events that have a lot of Aboriginal people at them. So we can learn the ways of the Aboriginal people as well as the values.
Is there a community of Aboriginal unschoolers?
No. I wouldn't call it a community, no. There are not many Aboriginal homeschoolers at all, or unschoolers for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that would be?
Well, I think that First Nations people certainly haven't gotten their power back yet. I think that colonialization and assimilation have affected our people relatively recently. And, well, indeed, they're still happening in many, many ways. But I think that, for me, it feels like that when I talk to Aboriginals about homeschooling, there's very much an attitude of, you can do that? Mm. And I think we as people need to take our power back and understand that these are our children, not the government's children. And we can decide how do we raise them and with whose values we raise them.
Right. So there's a real ignorance around it. People don't know about it.
I think so. I think that they just, it's not part of their, they just don't think they can do that. You know, they're for so long they've been told what they can and can't do. And because it's not presented as an option, they don't even know about it.
The support system, what kind of support do you have then?
I have the support of my family. And certainly my husband is very supportive in the homeschooling community. But as far as Aboriginal support, there is not much at all. Mm. And like I said, the Aboriginal community doesn't even know that it exists as an option. So, and they don't know people who are doing it. So it's very difficult for them to support something that is so foreign to them. Mm. Though my family back in Saskatchewan seems to be supportive, even though at the beginning they were quite, let's say, concerned. But they seem to be quite supportive now.
Mm-hmm. I think as you go along and you see the child or the children that are not, they're not harmed, they're thriving.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. The oldest child, how does she or he feel?
Well, he would like to see, like we've talked about it a lot, he would love to see more diversity in the homeschooling community, cultural diversity, that is. The homeschooling community in Canada is very Caucasian, which it probably is in the States as well. And he'd love to see more Aboriginal homeschoolers so we could do a lot of let's say, Aboriginal type outings or get-togethers or whatever. He loves being homeschooled, and he absolutely would not choose to go to school at all. We talk about it every year. It is his choice. I give him that choice fully. You know, he's allowed to go to school whenever he chooses. If he chooses this year he will go to school, then he will. But he has so far not chosen to go to school and really seems to be enjoying and thriving being homeschooled.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.